Well, the title of this sermon is, What's in Between? The first verse is Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. This is what it says. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. The next verse is Philippians 2:9-10. Philippians 2:9-10. Therefore, this is after Jesus has been crucified and risen from the dead. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and those under the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So here we have Jesus Christ right after his resurrection saying, all, without exception, authority has been given to me. Now, what does this really mean in practice? If we think about authority in the first place, if we look at Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, we read how we're to treat governing authorities. It says, Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Very important verse now. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now the problem we have with these two verses is, how do we know when the government becomes a terror to good works and a rewarder of evil works, which is what we're seeing presently? How are we to respond to this problem? Well, Peter, when they healed a man and taught that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and the governmental authorities said, Stop doing it. We don't want you preaching and putting this blood on us. And they said, We must obey God rather than men. Now, friends, that's how Christians respond to all authority, whether it be household authority of parents and children, or whether it be governmental authorities for politicians and citizens, whether it be elders in the church authority with the members, or whether it be economic authority where bosses have authority over employees. We should be submissive to lawful authority. But when the authority says to you, do this that is contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ, we say, we're not going to do it. Now, you're going to get in trouble for that. But that's the way it is. We must obey God rather than men. Now, in today's society, we have a movement toward oppression of Christians by the government. Now, the bakery problem out in California is a perfect illustration of this. Is it wrong for a bakery to bake a cake for a person who is a homosexual? The answer is no. Is it wrong for a bakery to bake a cake to advocate homosexuality? And the answer is yes. It's not about baking a cake, dear friends. It's about coercion of Christians to advocate an anti-Christian message. Now, I want you to listen to that very carefully. It's not that we can't do things for people who have homosexual problems, but rather we cannot be forced to advocate that position. And that's what that's all about. It's getting worse. Get ready for it. It's coming. Now, 12 years ago in Texas, a foolish judge overturned sodomy as a crime. Now it's a crime to say homosexuality is a sin. In 12 years. That's astonishing, isn't it? First they said they wanted toleration for our privacy. That quickly went away until they had public acceptance. They came out of the bedroom closet so they could have public acceptance. And now they want marriage so that they can be approved. But that's not enough, my friends. They want people coerced to say that this is acceptable practice. Now, you young people, you know, I'm too old. What are they going to do to me, you know? You young people better get ready. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But you have to get ready for persecution because it's coming. Just in 12 years, look what changed. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. There's only one hope we have in our country, that the Christian people, not the pagans, the Christian people repent of our sins and be holy unto the Lord out there, that we show a difference between what a Christian is and what a non-Christian is. That's why we have come to the state of mind and the position of our country at the present time. Now, what we have to understand, and most people don't get it, is that what we are seeing is the worldwide movement of the devil. That's really what's going on here. Homosexuality is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a river running underneath the city. And that river is the teaching of the Antichrist. Now, I want you to just think about this a minute. Ireland, which is a Catholic country and supposed to be Christian, voted 62% to say that homosexual marriage is acceptable. How has this happened? This is what happened. Here it is. You want me to read it? When the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to do what? To deceive the nations. To deceive the nations. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they don't see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what's going on. This is not about homosexuals. This is about Jesus Christ. That's who it's about. Is he Lord of lords and King of kings, or is the devil the ruler of this world? It says he is. Now, what does that mean in a practical sense? It means that you're going to face opposition by everyone out there, the majority of people out there, to standing up for Jesus Christ. If you say that homosexuality is a sin, for example, what are they going to say to you? You're a hater. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're wicked. You're judgmental. They're calling good evil and evil good. That's what we're seeing. But see, the struggle against this is not political. Politics will not solve this problem, dear friends. It has to be a revival of God's people who say, no more. Now, you young people here have to understand what's coming, and you have to get ready. Now, what I'm going to tell you is, we win. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. I want to make sure everybody got that word. We win. Every knee will bow. You have to remember that. So when everybody else is going off half-cocked and down the deep road of depravity, and didn't Jesus say this? What did he say? He said, many are on the road to destruction. Few are on the narrow road to life. Now, if you're walking the narrow road to life, people aren't going to like you. You have to give up the idea that I want to be popular, that I want to be well-liked, that I want to be loved. Now, how many of us love to be liked and loved? I am very big on that. That's what I like. I don't know about you. But guess what? That's not the way it's going to be. Now, the reality is we win, but there's something in between. The resurrection of Jesus Christ in our souls by the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed us until we said, Jesus is Lord. Now, if you've been born again, my friends, that's what you say. You don't just mouth words. If you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, to tell me what to do. He's the boss, I'm not. The basic problem of all human beings, including everyone in here, is we want to be God. When Adam and Eve sinned, the devil said to them, you should be as God. What does that mean in a practical sense? It means I control things. I do what I want, when I want, with whom I want, to the extent I want, how I want, and I don't want anybody saying, I can't, mustn't, shouldn't do it. Because I am God. We had a great Sunday school lesson. And the interesting thing about the Auburn affirmation is, they wanted their conscience enlightened by the Holy Spirit, they said, to be above the Word of God. Now, what did Martin Luther say? My conscience is bound by the Word of God. I submit to the Bible. I don't tell the Bible what it should say. The Bible tells me. I don't tell it. Now, friends, this is not some exercise in futility, but this is the reality. The things seen are temporal, my friends. Everything you see is temporal. The things eternal are not seen, but they've been delivered to us by Jesus Christ. He came to explain to us how God is toward us. And the Bible says we're by nature children of wrath. You know, the Bible doesn't give a real good picture of human beings. If you actually, rebels from birth, I go forth from the womb speaking lies, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Is this an optimistic viewpoint? Is it a real viewpoint? You see, people who think that people are basically good must be crazy. That's all you can say. Because history, logic, reason, the daily newspapers, our relationship with others in the past, our own hearts, and the Bible all say, there's none righteous, no, not one. Now the problem is, we don't accept that. We don't like this kind of teaching because it crosses the idea that I am good. And we are not good. Now, some people say this heresy. God accepts you as you are. Let me say it again. That's a heresy. If that were true, why would God send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for sinners? Hey, I already accept you. Jesus doesn't need to go to the cross. In fact, if God accepted you as you were and He sent His Son to die on the cross, that's a tyrant and a cruel person of inestimable amount. If there was any other way that people could be accepted by God, He would not have sent His Son Jesus. We've got to stop listening to crazy people telling things that are lies. How are we accepted? The Bible says we're accepted in the Beloved. You want to be accepted? You've got to be united to Christ. If you're not united to Christ, you're not accepted. Let me just read to you from John chapter 3, verse 36. I wish people, you know what I really wish people would actually do? Is actually read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I wish they would do that. If they would do that, all these wild ideas they have would be overturned. Listen to this word. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Boy, isn't that a wonderful word? Gosh. My friends, our lives are very short. Soon, we're going to face Him. And He's going to ask you, what did you do with Jesus, the Son of God? Here's what He says. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Is this true? Do we accept these words? I tell you, there's a lot of tough words in the New Testament. I mean, a lot of them, not just a few. Now, how is it then that we can have the in-between life between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His final judgment? We have to believe it's worth it to live for God. Friends, it's a lot easier to live for the world. It's easy to do that. It's not hard to do it. So how do we do this? You see, we've got to be like Moses. You remember Moses. This guy's astonishing, really, when you think about it. Moses, for the reproach of Christ, the reward laid up for him, despised being named son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now think about that a minute. Now what does this mean for Moses if he's Pharaoh? Well, what's the best housing you can find? He had it. The best clothes, the best food, the best entertainment. He could have had a harem of women. He had the fanciest chariot. He could have had anything. If somebody crossed him, he could have said, off with his head. And that head would be gone. But the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the pleasures of being Pharaoh. Now, friends, that's what you've got to have. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that heaven is worth it. Now, the truth is, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. That's the truth. We got an appointed day, each of us here. Without exception. When that day comes, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or evil. I'm going to do it. You're going to do it. And so what should we be doing in between? We should be so heavenly minded, we're of the most earthly good. Now, you've heard that phrase. He's so heavenly minded, he is no earthly good. You heard that? That's a lie. You know why it's a lie? Because the people who are heavenly minded, who have their focus on God and serving and honoring Him, are the most earthly good because they're not materialists. They're not seeking to build a little kingdom for themselves. They're not seeking to build up what they've got. So if you're heavenly minded, praise God for you. You are what God is looking for. This is what He wants you to be. He wants you to be heavenly minded so that you are the most earthly good. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and body, you will love your neighbor as yourself. This is just a fact of life. This is the reality of what happens to a person who's a Christian between resurrection and judgment. That's why Christian people have always been the ones to build hospitals, to work in shelters, to bring schools, education to pass. It's the Christians who do this. We have to understand how important it is for Christians to be in a country. It makes a huge difference in them. Now, in between, when we look at Matthew 28 and 18 through 20, we noticed, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he says, the Great Commission. Go therefore. Therefore means, this is the conclusion of, I have all authority in heaven and upon earth. That's what he means. Okay, therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So what our purpose is, your purpose as an individual Christian person, is to see that the kingdom of God is advanced. Well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, whether you're a student, wherever you work, your home, your family, you're to be advancing the kingdom of God. That's your purpose. You're to use your time and your money, your talents, to advance the kingdom of God. And to do that, you want to disciple people, bring them into faith in Christ, and teach them to do what Jesus said. That's what it means to disciple a person. And the great blessing is, friends, you don't have to worry whether people like it or not. Jesus said, I am with you. I love these scriptures that the promises, you know, where it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You with Jesus Christ makes a majority. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at that. Nothing shall... Life, death, heaven, hell, height, depth, angels, principalities, Satan. Nothing. Nothing can separate you. That's the in-between. Yeah, but preacher, what if I'm persecuted? Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. Great is your reward in heaven. It didn't say on earth, did it? Great is your reward in heaven, not upon earth. This is tremendous. My friends, God has not given His people the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Friends, you... You know, I used to teach, I did this about 10 years or maybe even longer than that, I don't remember, but I used to teach 10 or 15 young people every morning, once a week. And I always told them when they left this, you are the peer pressure. You are the peer pressure. Friends, that's who you are. You are the peer pressure. You have to understand the kind of power you have as an individual Christian person. You have the power of love, of a sound mind. And everywhere you go, you bring the glory of Christ with you. That's what a Christian is called, a little Christ. We are to be Christ-like. And when we are Christ-like, friends, we impact everything around us. That's what's in between resurrection and judgment day. Whatever your calling is not the important thing. The question is, are you impacting your area for Jesus Christ? Jesus is the reason you exist. God can take us off this planet today. But you'll never be out of the arms of Jesus Christ. No one, listen, no one shall snatch them out of my hand. So what does all this mean? This means we should be people of courage. Because we're so heavenly minded, we're of great earthly good. We should be people of bravery, willing to take the snide remarks, the sneers, the laughter, and maybe later, physical persecution. Just think, what would the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel preacher say to those 21 Christians before they had their heads chopped off? None of those people, all of them were given the option. Deny Christ, we'll let you live. They refused to do it. How can somebody do that? You know, I'm scared to death thinking about that. Would I have the courage to say Jesus Christ is Lord to somebody standing over me with a sword, ready to separate my head from my body? Would I have that courage? I pray that would be the case. I've got a picture I want to show you. I receive these various things. You probably can't see this too well. It's a man lying on his back. And this happened last month. And they killed him because he was a Christian. And they put a Bible on his back. The message was, you believe this Bible? We're going to kill you. Now, this is not 2,000 years ago, dear friends. That's last month. Wow. This being a Christian is not so easy, is it? Over here, it's pretty easy. The only thing we got to worry about is somebody may lose their job. Or somebody may hate your guts and say something. Or ostracize you if you're a teenager. But they're not taking your head off yet. So see, look what people are doing for Jesus Christ. But you can't do that unless you really believe there's a greater place waiting for you. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. That's what Paul said. For to depart and be with Christ is far better. Now, do you believe this? You believe that word? To depart and be with Christ is far better? It's not so easy, is it? You know, I kind of like this life. I don't know about you folks. I'm enjoying it. Now, God gave us richly all things to enjoy, didn't he? So we should enjoy it. We just have to remember what our focus is. Jesus the Christ. I'm going to manifest his name. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to believe his word. I'm going to obey him. And people are going to see that I am different from them. And they're going to ask me the question, why are you different? Or why aren't you doing this? Or why aren't you doing that? And you're going to have a reason. Because Jesus Christ has rescued me from hell, from sin, from death, from Satan. And I've got an inheritance reserved in heaven for me. And no one can take it from me. And you can have it too. Now the question I need to ask you is this. Has anyone ever asked you why you do what you do, live the way you live, speak the way you speak? Has anyone ever asked you? I hope they have. Because that's a great, that means you have an anointing on you. And people, they sometimes get a little uneasy around you. They don't know quite what to do with you. They don't know quite how to talk to you. Because you are different. Now, teenagers today want to be different just like everybody else. I love it. It's the truth, isn't it? But if you're really different, loving Jesus Christ above all things and people, preparing yourself to do His will in your life in preparation for your eternal life, you will be different. And you'll be a glory to Christ. And He'll look down on you and say, look at him, my son, my daughter. What a witness. What a testimony. What a blessing to the world. That's what you could be. A blessing to the people that are around you. May it be so. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you've made us different because you've changed us from the inside out. Enable us to really be what we are. Thank you for these dear souls here today, Lord. Bless them with joy in serving you, even amidst difficulty. We know there are very many problems in life. We face these things, and not everything makes us happy because of what happens. But we can have the joy of the Lord when we're serving Christ, even amidst pain and suffering, sickness and sorrow, and yes, even death. And so, Lord, help us be reminded that we are carrying the glory of Christ and that we have a glory we're going to, and no one can take it away from us. Therefore, fill us with courage and make us upstanding, outstanding people that make a difference in our world. For Christ's sake, amen. Okay. 585. Oh, wait. Nope. Made a mistake. It's pastoral prayer and Lord's Prayer. Let me pray another prayer and lead you in the Lord's Prayer. You can't be perfect all the time. Let me pray again. Lord, thank you that you're the one that forgives our sins and makes us perfect in your eyes, even though we're sinners, even today. Thank you for forgiving all our sins. Help us realize the greatness of our calling. And make us the kind of person you want us to be. For Jesus' sake, the one who taught his own disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.